that can be really hard when you say to someone, oh, just drop in and embody that, when their whole experience is that their body has been a source of discomfort, a source of pain. Because we have to start with the healing, the relationship to our body.
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this. Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. I'm so excited this week as we continue the exploration of embodiment, why that's important, why we care about that. Last week, I kind of explored, well, a couple weeks ago, I explored, you know, sort of what does embodiment even mean? And we've been sort of spending the last few weeks exploring it from different viewpoints. Today, I'm so blessed, as always, to have my co-host, Laura Shook Guzman. And we decided that we wanted to talk about embodiment, you know, kind of sharing why is it such a struggle for many of us to love our bodies, right? Why do we struggle to even be in our bodies? Of course, there's all the societal stuff and there is our own perceptions. But what does that really mean anyway? We're going to take a look at it through psychology, through mental health, through our perceptions. And I think it's going to be a pretty awesome conversation. What do you think, Laura?
Yeah, thanks, Sonia, for framing this conversation and even laying the groundwork. And I mean, before we jumped on this call, I said, gosh, we'd be remiss to not talk about some of the challenges of embodiment, because I feel like many listeners might feel like, oh yeah, I've heard that that's good. I've heard that that's the thing to do now. We're supposed to embody ourselves. We're supposed to do this thing and get in our bodies. And so as a somatic psychotherapist, I will admit, I'm so grateful that those messages are more mainstream. I'm grateful that we talk more about our mind-body connection, about the power of inhabiting our bodies. And I mean, my own development recently had this reflection. My own development in psychotherapy as a therapist has sort of paralleled the development of somatic psychotherapy in so many ways. Like in the last 30 years, and I've been doing this for a little over 20, for the last 30 years, we've really been diving deeper and deeper into what does it mean for a human beings, psychology, for our emotional states, for cognitive understanding, why is the body so important? And so I love this subject. And yet I think it's really important for us to name for many listeners who say, yeah, this sounds great. But what about me? What if I'm the person who can't get in my body? What if I'm struggling with embodiment? Because everyone's saying it's awesome, but there must be something wrong with me. And that's why I would like to have this conversation today for all those people that are thinking, what's wrong if embodiment is not an easy thing for me to do?
Yes. And, you know, of course it relates to all of the feelings, you know, responses, experiences that we've had with our body, right? Like, you know, it's such the relationship that we've had with our body for many women is, you know, push and pull and love and hate and struggle and challenge. And, you know I should love my body, but I really secretly hate it. And, you know, there's all these things. Like it's a very almost confusing relationship, right? I don't feel like we've been taught as women, and this is probably across the board in terms of gender, but I don't feel like we've ever been taught, how do we care for our body? How do we love our body? How do we, you know, really honor our body, no matter what shape it is, no matter what size it is, no matter what color it is? Like, how do we actually just fully honor who we are and what is? You know, instead, especially as women, we're fed what we should love and what we should hate, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Like, and so then we develop this real like interesting relationship with our body based on indoctrination, experiences, our own perceptions, a lot of wounds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. So many things spinning through my head. You know, as you're talking about that across genders, yes, we have to acknowledge that just being a body and being having a very positive relationship and loving relationship with our bodies is problematic for a lot of humans across the board, because our society has focused a lot on intelligence, on, and then late, you know, and then we were lucky to start discovering emotional intelligence. So we have IQ, we have EQ, and we have less of the somatic intelligence that we are taught as children. I mean, really, we actually get the opposite message.
Yeah.
The child that's like, I'm hot. And the mom's like, nope, it's cold and you will wear your coat.
Yeah.
We do that out of love because we don't want our children to get cold. However, that messaging starts really, really soon, that we tell our children, you can't trust what your body feels. I know better.
Yes. Gosh, I think about like how automatic that is, right? Like I try to be very conscious of that with my kids. And yet, you know, you can, you know, the times when like every night the young child has a stomach ache, you know, because they don't want to go to bed or whatever it is, right? And you give them the message of like, we heard this last night and the night before and the last 50 nights before that, like go to bed. You know, we tell them to ignore whatever that feeling is. You know, because obviously it's a feeling of something. They're using particular language around that body part, right? Like we so take for granted the subconscious language we use. You know, if I'm a child and I'm saying my stomach hurts, and, you know, we think it's like a manipulation pattern as an example. Well, obviously something's going on. Or why wouldn't they say my head hurts or my whole body hurts or I'm cold or I need love or whatever it is, right? Something is relating to their stomach area, anxiety maybe, or fear. And these are all the somatic cues that we ignore in our children, and we definitely ignore them in ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. And like you said, even with the best of intentions now, it can still just be really challenging when we're trying to just get something done and move. And we, you know,
and that's it. That's the core. Ding, 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 ding. When we're trying to get something done is when we ignore our somatic cues.
Yes, exactly. Because like human beings, like all animals, we're slow processors.
Yeah.
Actually, we process slowly, but that is not the culture that we inhabit in this current modern time. You know, everything is about like being more productive and more efficient. And so we kind of bring along our bodies for the ride. And so thankfully, we're starting to have more evidence, more science that backs up the importance of understanding what's happening in our nervous system. And I can rarely take a course anymore in psychology, thank goodness, that doesn't have a mention now of the nervous system. But when I was in grad school, it was all cognitive behavioral. It was all strategies. It was all like, stop your thought. Let's stop that thinking and replace the narrative. And luckily now more and more therapists are learning it, and we're having to learn a relationship with our body. Now with all gender, definitely as human beings, this is a culture that lives in our head, especially this Western culture. So we're learning how to drop in. Now, what's problematic for women is that there's a lot of different messages that have gone into how they feel about their bodies. Women, we know, are judged more by their outward appearances. Their assumptions are made about women on their outer appearance. Yes, we may do that with men, but not to the same extent. Like men are just valued more on like, what is it they're capable of doing? And I was talking to a young friend that I was talking about this issue, and she was like, oh yeah, you know, if some guy becomes CEO and he's hot, you know, some like good looking, talented, intelligent CEO, you think total package. If it's a woman, you wonder, how did she get there?
It just so irritates me.
Yeah. Oh, it must be how, you know, she's attractive. It's like, oh, okay, we know how she got there. It's like, there's not a confidence in her ability. If it has to do with looks, And then there's no confidence if she doesn't have the looks. I mean, it's just like, we can't quite ever make that, we can't ever win, right? So it's this issue for women is there's a lot of value that society places on a woman's body, what it's supposed to be and not be. And we grow up with those messages. So as women, we have internalized what we think is about the value of our body. You know, is it that we stay looking young and we stay looking thin? And I mean, here I am, I'm a privileged white body. So I don't even know the experience of a woman of color who has to also realize that, oh, and I've been told that the skin color I have is of no value. And that means what about my body, right? So there's so many different layers of women and then women of color. And I think it's really important that we think about this, because when you ask a woman, you can ask, you know, well, do you think that your body is a value, or is your body a liability?
And let's stop there for a second and really feel that and think about that. What is our energetic relationship with our body, right? Because this is part of embodiment. We can talk about this a lot. We can conceptualize embodiment. We can talk about all the piece. But if you just stop for a second and really feel, what is the relationship? How do you feel about your body when you're in it? How do you feel about your body when you're connected to it? What is the sensations that you feel when you really put your attention on your body, right? And I think this is the piece that we struggle with, is that we don't, maybe we don't even know how we feel about our body. Maybe we're just totally disconnected to our body. Maybe we, like, you know, some parts of our body we can feel and we have a sensation with, and other parts of our body we ignore and we don't have a sensation with because of the experience we've had with it, or because of what we've been told about it, because of what we've internalized about it. I don't know a single woman in my lifetime that I've ever met who loves every part of their body, right? Like, there's, oh, I remember being younger and I had a lot of body dysmorphia. I always thought I was fat, like from the time I was a tiny child. And I look back at pictures, I was like super thin. And I think, what the hell? Like now, now maybe I have like some reason to talk about that. But I always kind of had this body dysmorphia. And I remember feeling really jealous of like the really thin girls, right? Like the girls who I always felt were, you know, they could eat whatever they wanted. And they were always so thin. And I could, you know, I had this envy for that. But when I really allowed myself to go over there, to feel what they feel, to ask them questions, to have honest conversations, they hated their body as much as I hated mine, right? Like there was this, still this perception, no matter what body they had, that it was not enough.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean by feeling like your body is a liability. Because when your body becomes something that could hurt you, or someone could hurt because of how it looks. Women are constantly struggling with, do I wanna be attractive or do I wanna be invisible? If I'm too attractive, I'm in trouble. I can gain unwanted attention. I can be unsafe. If I am not attractive enough though, I might not get called on. I might not get attention. I might not get somewhere where I need to be. Right? So there's just that on a really like basic level of just, is my body something that I'm safe in or unsafe? And then, and that's based on like societal messages of value. But then you also add my experience. I work with a lot of clients who, when I ask them to go into their body, they say, well, that's where the trauma happened. Why are you asking me to go there? My body is the enemy as far as I'm concerned. My body is where this happened. My body is where the pain lives. My body is what perpetuates this story. And so that can be really hard when you say to someone, oh, just drop in and embody that, when their whole experience is that their body has been a source of discomfort, a source of pain. So you've got this spectrum. Anywhere on it, I'm saying kind of the spectrum between like societal messages making you feel like you can't be safe in your body, all the way to traumatic experiences that are actually have shown you that you're not always safe in your body. we really have to talk about that and understand. And I really appreciate you bringing in the somatic sense of it, really understand how you feel about your body and relating to your body in order to have this discussion around embodiment, because we have to start with the healing, the relationship to our body that starts by having awareness of why we feel the way we feel, compassion for why we do, because you're not alone. I'm saying this as a way of validating everyone out there that if you are confused and it's complicated about how you feel about your body, it's because when I ask that question, is your body a value or liability? Most of my clients will say both.
Yeah,
and that's right. Super confusing. So how are we supposed to like totally embrace something and love it and be all about it when there's also just this and often unacknowledged pain, confusion? Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate so much to this topic. I mean, my body has been, both, absolutely both my whole life, right? Like when I was younger, it was my vehicle to abuse in a way, right? It was my carrier, whatever I needed it to do, it worked. Now it doesn't work, right? But when I was young, it was a liability because, I mean, I had, you know, I was sexually abused. I had experiences where I didn't want the attention that I got. So, you know, it was like, as I was young, it was a different level of liability and, you know, value. And now as I'm older, I don't have to worry as much about the attention and all of those pieces. I'm more safe in that way. But now it won't let me run it in the way that I used to, right? It totally says, you're going to abuse me one day, I'm going to make you pay for a week, right? Like, and so it's this like totally different relationship. And, you know, it's interesting because I've done so much work on myself and my relationship with my body over the years, and it's still something I struggle with, right? And oftentimes I want it to change, right? Like I feel like the consistent piece throughout my life is I want it to be different. And I think that's the message that many of us get. It just needs to be different, whether it needs to be thinner or fatter or, you know, more voluptuous or more sexy or less sexy, or like there's always something different. And so one of the things I started to explore with myself is rather than, you know, automatically when I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I need to do this and do that and work harder and work out and eat less and, you know, whatever the things that come up, I started to recognize if I just have one mission right now, it's just to appreciate wherever I'm at, just to be willing to connect to my body as it is without wanting it to be any different. And that really has, you know, been a huge change for me in starting to heal the relationship with my body. I have a long way to go, but, you know, it's interesting really looking at it like this and starting to understand the psychology of it and the societal expectations and what we've been really under pressure to achieve. Because like you said, I think a lot of, you know, in this sort of more spiritual age or, you know, whatever circles you run in, if they're talking about embodiment, there is kind of an expectation like, just be embodied. Just why are you not embodied, right? Like, you know, and that's exactly why I want to talk about this podcast. There is no easy path to embodiment. Like it is going through the trauma. It is going through the healing. It is going through the societal messages. Like we have to actually go through the pieces to get back to wholeness. And, you know, I don't think we talk about that enough.
Right. And you know that we live in a culture that likes to gloss over the hard part, the painful part. That's not sexy to talk about. That's not something that we want to acknowledge. And so if we're not acknowledging it, you have all these people struggling to become embodied because they don't know how they're supposed to bypass that. Oh, but we can't talk about it. You know, it's like I'm supposed to somehow just push my way through the resistance to arrive somewhere peacefully in my body. Like that is a societal story, or like, I guess, a narrative that I would like to push back against. Because I think that if we continue a narrative around embodiment that's not truthful, then it's going to end up harming women who really want that reconnection with their body. But it's a reparative process. And it starts with, you know, first of all, just thank you for sharing your own story, right? Your personal story of being a survivor allows other people who are listening to this right now to connect, to know, okay, yes, I'm not the only one. And that's the reason we talk about trauma, we talk about abuse on this podcast, because one in three women are sexually assaulted in their lifetime. That right there is reason why our bodies can feel like a liability, because they aren't always safe and painful things have happened in our bodies. So in order to heal this experience, the way that I work with my clients and the ways that we've talked about it on this podcast and in our other podcast has been that it starts with awareness. It starts with this ability to say, this is complicated. Embodiment is not easy. This is actually complicated for me. And it's normal that there's a level of resistance when I go to try to do this embodiment thing. And resistance is going to look like when everybody else is zoning out, looking all happy, you know, you're like, I can't get out of my head. I can't feel my body. I don't know where to go in my body. I actually just want to jump out as soon as they tell me to go there. I can't stop just thinking, and this brain's going round and round with thoughts, and I'm numb. I don't even know where my body is, right? Those are all signs of resistance. And there's importance around having awareness when that happens, and then it's normal that it can happen if there has been painful experiences in the body or a relationship that needs to be repaired. So that's our first step with healing, is acknowledging that there is resistance to going in the body. And then we start with having compassion for ourselves that we feel a resistance, because the next thing that people do is sometimes become critical of that resistance. Oh, I should just get over this. That happened when I was 14. I don't know why I'm even still dealing with this. And so that's where we have compassion. Of course, it's scary to be in my body. I don't even know if I've really processed some of the things that happened to me as a child, right? So acknowledgement and then compassion. And then, like, when you're working with yourself or with a guide of someone else, as a somatic psychotherapist, we always start with, where in the body is it the easiest for you to be? And that's often a place that's more of like on your extremities, more in the edges of the body. So like starting, can I find my feet? Can I feel the bottoms of my feet on the floor? Like, what would it be like to just feel that, right? Or just to feel my hands resting in my lap, or maybe you put your hands together. Or you touch your face and you feel like the coolness or the warmth, right? So that's where we start, just as a practical, like, I never go into a somatic session and say, let's just drop in all the way and get in there. It's always this gentle acknowledgement of where we are and kind of asking the body if it's willing, like, okay, can we find that compassion and permission? And then where can we feel connected in the body that's the least, you know, triggering or challenging, just like a place that's easier to be with.
Yeah. So good. And so important. I mean, I think, you know, it's just in general, one of the things I get really frustrated about in the world today is that, you know, as people are becoming more aware, as we're talking about more spirituality or embodiment or even mental health, the masculine lens of aggressiveness still comes into play with healing, right? I think so often people are still pushing themselves, are pushing each other. Or you see like the coaches who re-traumatize people because they don't really know how to go in gently, or you see, and they don't know their lane, you know, it's a whole nother thing. But, you know, you see this force that often happens, or this expectation that we should just be able to do something. We should just be able to make it happen. And the truth is, healing, embodiment, you know, real true learning even is done in a slow processing manner. It's done in a gentle manner. You know, there's like, it's one of the reasons why I really dislike some of the self-development gurus. Like, I am not a Tony Robbins fan. Like, if you like Tony Robbins, good for you, but I really dislike him. And part of it is because he's traumatizing people. He is aggressively trying to bring them to awakening, and that doesn't work. It snaps shut, it reopens trauma. Like, there's all kinds of things that happen. And so, you know, like what you just said, of this is about taking it step by step, you know, almost doing the lower gradient work first. Like, you know, what is the thing that's the least triggering? What's the thing that is, you know, the least reactive or the least traumatic? And then slowly working into the more deeper layers. You know, that's an approach we need for everything.
Yes, exactly. It's like a very gentle, incremental, titrated approach. And titration is a word in somatic therapy that's like the ability to move from a safe space into a little bit of the activation and then back to the safe place and then into the activation. And so that you get this anchored ability to move in and out of something that is way too intense if you went all in. And that re-traumatization that you talked about, I do see that happening, unfortunately, in circles that are very much that, shall we say, more masculine, more ego-driven. It's result-driven, you know, and it's like, let's just get this done and let's get it done quickly. But changing, shifting a biological response that is actually present because it evolved to keep you safe requires a lot of awareness and gentle rewinding and redirecting that protective mechanism. And trauma is something that disorients the person and dysregulates the nervous system. And therefore, there's a part of our felt experience that we disconnect from and disassociate from so that we aren't walking around every day reliving that painful experience. And you know what? That is really evolutionarily smart of our bodies.
Yeah.
It's really smart. And that's what I tell my clients all the time. Like, actually, let's just stop a minute and have a moment of recognition of like what your body has been working so hard on all these years. Yet we can also say to the body, things have shifted. My life circumstances are safer. And I have the ability to feel this now in a way that I couldn't, and free up my life energy for other things I want to do. So it's like, thank you, body, for all that work. And I'm going to let you off that job. I'm going to release you from that position. And you're getting a promotion into a much more exciting job of holding more space for joy, holding more space for me to move out into the world and feel my body. Because the thing about embodiment, so I just want to say, like, to bookend this, because we started this conversation by talking about how challenging it is to not understand the complexity. But the other bookend is that, of course, as we move towards embodiment from this place of gentle awareness and compassion and titration, we move to a more whole and integrated experience in the body. And embodiment is the ultimate experience we can have as a human being in a physical body, because it gives us all access to the light and the darkness, the joy and the suffering. And you get all of this, what we call an internal family systems, you get access to self energy and self leadership when we become embodied. So there is a reason why we want to work towards it, but I just really want to underline that it is a journey, and not to be too cliche, it's not a destination. This is, embodiment is not a destination. It is a journey towards more and more and more embodiment and more expansiveness in the body. And if you allow yourself to work with the resistance first, understanding where that's coming from and having the compassion for yourself, work with it, on your own or with a guide, with a somatic oriented coach or therapist, then I hope for you to really, really experience embodiment, right? But not the hashtag embodiment that's going to happen in 5 minutes or that you're going to feel any kind of self-judgment around. That's what I am not about.
So. Yeah. And I mean, it is an ongoing practice, right? Like no matter how long I've been aware of this concept, decades, I've been practicing it and I'm nowhere near a master of it. You know, like every day it is a practice of being more and more embodied, of accepting and honoring whatever my body feels, whatever sensations come up, whatever energy is there. You know, it reminds me of, I really love that book, which I've recommended to a lot of my clients, Getting Back Our Bodies.
Kristen Caldwell.
Getting
Our Bodies Back. And she also has a new book, by the way, that's called Body Full instead of Mindful. It's Body Full.
I'm going to totally go get that because I think I've read, you know, Getting Back Our Bodies like 100 times. Like, you know, it's like there's so much good stuff in it. I finally put my husband on it. He's reading it now.
Good.
But yeah, it's so good. And, you know, one of the things that really hit me, you know, recently as I went back through it and was kind of skimming my notes is she talks about how we are energy systems. And our energy is never bad, right? Like, I think that I just want to highlight that piece because anything we feel in our body is fine, is good, is acceptable. And so often we're taught that our energy is shameful. Like either we have too much energy or not enough energy, or we have sexual energy, or we have like, you know, not enough sexual energy. Like, you know, there's all these things in which we're taught that whatever feeling we have inside of our body, whatever sensation we have, whatever energy we have, it's wrong, it's shameful, it should be different. And I think that is what hits me the most. If we can just get to that place that we say to ourselves, any energy inside my body is acceptable.
Yes. That is such an important way to look at energy because of that discomfort and like uncomfortable energy becomes bad and comfortable pleasure becomes good. And what if we suspended judgment? Yes, it's difficult to sit in uncomfortable energy. It is. I mean, it's harder. You want to be in the joy and the pleasure. But what if we suspended that judgment? Would we be able to feel it more with less discomfort by making more space for all those experiences to be? And I think that most of my clients that come in that have had complex trauma, they've been holding their energy. They've been pressing it down, feeling that it's bad and for all sorts of reasons. And then they're experiencing dysregulated nervous systems because the energy flow is off. It's either depressed or anxious or a combination of the two, or downright chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all of that type of, which don't even get me started on the masculine understanding of this and the women's bodies and why they won't research it and study it and put money to it. But so many women are carrying around energetic imbalances.
That's right.
Because we don't know how to make peace with the energy in our body.
Yes. And, you know, you were saying uncomfortable versus pleasurable, but it's interesting because I definitely know that I also have a limit on pleasurable experiences, right?
Yes,
where
yes.
Too pleasurable becomes uncomfortable. Like it's this really interesting energetic frameworks that we all have. And, you know, it also to kind of just frame it, what is interesting is that the way we've labeled uncomfortable feelings, and not to say they're ever comfortable, but also sometimes it's the label and judgment that makes it so uncomfortable. And I've had a lot of these discussions with my clients as they're exploring, you know, sort of being more in their body and exploring their sensations. And they'll talk about when they suspend judgment, when they accept whatever's there, it actually in some ways feels pleasurable to experience the uncomfortable sensations, right? Like, you know, grief, like whatever that sensation is for you, that when you feel it
moves through.
Yeah. And there's something pleasurable about that movement you know, even though it's technically uncomfortable, or, you know, we've labeled it uncomfortable, like there's, it feels good to be in our bodies, period, when we start to really embrace that it's all okay. But the judgment that we experience when we start to feel something uncomfortable, that something's wrong with us, that something is not okay, like all of those feelings, that sometimes really gets in the way of just experiencing whatever's there.
Oh, so true. And I just can't help but think of, get the visual and feel this in my body when we talked about grief. That is one that's a big disservice in our culture, because we live in a very much like shut it down, don't cry, grieve on your own. And there are other cultures that even just south of the United States, Mexico, a lot of the, you know, Latin cultures, they have a very loud mourning process and a very bodily, you know, process of grieving. And if you think about that, that makes so much sense. It almost feels good to let grief move out. When grief wants to move, it really does bring one to their knees. You literally want to crawl across the ground and you just want to wail up from the depths of your body. And there is just this something that needs to be expressed that is grief, that is like no other. But how often do we actually do that here in the United States? Where is there space where you don't feel embarrassed, or you don't have people calling 911 or something, right? You're having this like normal response. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, that how they're not even that black or white. It's not even pleasure and pain or discomfort. It's in, you know, comfortable. It's so broad. And I have to say, I'm almost not going to say this because, oh, I can't quote it. I don't know where this came from, but I know that I have read something about, this is the whole like kind of the feminine, the power of the feminine body and the female body and reclaiming that, is that, so when you look at the anatomy of a female body and what the female body experiences in the spectrum of pleasure to pain, the heights and the sensitivity and the nerve endings in our female genitalia and what we're capable of feeling in orgasm is actually much stronger than what the male anatomy can experience. And then we also, the other way, if we have experience of childbirth, we experience a depth of pain and discomfort in the body because of the opening of the body that is unlike anything that the male body experiences. So if you think about that, the female body having, being home to such a spectrum of experience, and yet we've internalized these messages from society, that's taking that experience from us, dimming it, denying it.
Taming it.
I'm like, what's that word? I never saw anyone have. It's like, that is, it blows me away just saying that right now. It's astounding. And it would be, and maybe that's why I love doing somatic work, because if one by one I can help my clients return to their body and help women specifically reclaim the fullness of their human being, animal body experience.
Yes. Yes. Look, yeah. Same, right? Like both you and I have been committed for so long to women reclaiming themselves, right? Like there is this power in really recognizing how phenomenal we really are. And we have been allowed to live in a sliver of that potential, right? This like tiny, as long as you fit here in this tiny sliver of your potential, don't be too much, don't be too little, don't be too attractive, don't be not too, have a little pleasure, but not too much. You know, it's like everything is this like tightness of this tiny sliver when we are so much, so big, so amazing, so like so much to experience, so sensitive on both sides. And you know, I just always say, like, imagine the world when more and more women reclaim their full potential, their full experience, their full capability, right? Which is always here, always inside of us. We don't have to do more, be more to do that. We already have it. We just have to use it. We have to step inside of it. We have to allow it, right? That will be the world that I hope my kids live in.
Absolutely. And I want to underline, it is not doing more.
Yes.
It is doing less and being yourself. The beingness and the slowing down is so, 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 so key to reclaiming our bodies. I feel so in my body right now, having this conversation. My belly feels really warm and expansive, and I just feel like all my cells are tingling just thinking about the possibility of this and the work that we get to do together, this time that we get to share. It's something magical.
Me too. I feel like I wanted to cry several times in this session. So thank you, Laura.
Moving energy.
I know.
Here's our energy that flows through the body.
That's right. It's so beautiful. Thank you all for joining us in this very beautiful conversation. And, you know, we will see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to soniastatman.com. All right, see you next week.